Hey, Riverfront Ministries. Welcome to the 505 podcast. I am Pastor Chelsea Spires, and we are coming to you live from the road. It is a Riverfront road trip on this Saturday. On this Saturday afternoon, a nice sunny day, skies are clear, and the road is ahead of us. A few of us have just attended the Bay Retreat with the Newcastle Presbytery. And if you have no idea what a presbytery is, the presbytery is one of the denominations, one of the branches of Christianity that helps support our work at Riverfront. We are so grateful for the presbytery, for their financial support, for their spiritual support, for the ways that they've taught us over the years. And a few of us from Riverfront had the opportunity to travel down the Chesapeake Bay for a day and a half away together. So I'm coming to you live from the road. In the car with me is Wednesday Lampinen, Bob Brosler, and Ken Grant. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hey there.
And greetings to all.
Friends, I wonder if we might just start this conversation with what was your favorite moment from the last day and a half?
Well, I will tell you that this was not your typical church retreat, training, whatever you want to call it. And so this may seem a little out of context, but my favorite part was playing a game called Spontaneous, which I was taught by my children about 15 years ago when they were in grammar school taking Odyssey of the Mind, which some of you may be familiar with. And it was one of the many times that we simply laughed hysterically. And so if nothing else, taking away the idea that our faith is not serious, quote unquote, in the worst sense of that word, but joyful and delightful and full of laughter and hope and love. That's just in itself a great thing to take away, I believe.
Something I thought was fascinating and that stuck with me from one of the presentations is they had us do the machine and improv game. And as a theater teacher, this one has never been one of my favorites. When you have a lot of students, it takes a long time to get going. But as I was doing it with my table, there were four of us willing to participate. And it actually was fun. And we were of different ages, different backgrounds. And what I noticed, it's one person does a ch-ch and the other person ch-ching. And you all have to be listening and paying attention for when your turn is to come in. And at the end of the conference, it just struck me that the five facilitators, they all had different personalities and they all had different gifts. There was the wacky improv. There was the sermon, the Bible type interactions. There was the structured person. There was somebody singing and there was music. And they were all quick. It was like you were watching this machine. And they shared at the end how it was, you know, wild ideas that eventually right before they said we need a structure, but it was everybody with their very unique and very different gifts, and by listening and working and kind of bouncing off, you know, taking the energy back and forth, it just made for this vibrant, awe-inspiring presentation. And it I'm just taking that home with me.
Wednesday, that makes me think about how in order for like each part of the machine to function, that like you have to be willing to say yes, right? You have to be willing to engage with it, mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to like stay engaged, because like some of that exercise is like you do have a particular part or a particular sound that's supposed to happen at a particular time, right? It's like one person goes first, then somebody goes second, then it repeats. Yep. Like, and if you like stop focusing or if you stop engaging, you're going to miss your part.
And it'll shut down.
And then the machine, and then like when you miss your part, it messes up the person after you.
Right.
Because they were waiting for you. And like then all of a sudden, like everything is off and people are trying to like recalibrate in a sense to bring it back together. And so I'm just struck by the ways that that is true in a community, right, in a way that that is true in a worship service, how, like, sometimes we play these roles, and somewhere, I think it was in the sermon, in the closing sermon, there was this line about not always knowing how much influence you have in a group. And I think that's true no matter what role you play in a community. Like, when you enter a space, you change the dynamic simply by you being present. And just, I'm just thinking a lot about, like, what that looks like for us to be, like, open and excited for the machine to change as somebody new comes in. But also, what does it look like for us to commit to our part, right? To, like, commit to our sound and to keep showing up and to keep, to just keep saying yes to our part of the work.
And I'll jump in and say that I've seen this happening in the business community. I've seen it happening with various civic organizations, and it's good to see it happening within the church community, that they're really opening themselves up and using some of the tools that we see in improv, as Bob was alluding to there, that causes people to see things in a more optimistic light. The whole yes and concept, that when new ideas are presented, you know, you respond positively, don't immediately shut them down and say, no, I can't, you know, we can't do that or whatever. And I find that having that right up front and center in this experience helps create a different mindset for a lot of the people in the organization. And it's exciting to see what that could possibly lead to, as that hopefully permeates, you know, in this case, a denomination. But I think it's something that you know, I just hear Pastor Chelsea constantly referring to people saying yes to things. You know, what caused you to say yes to Riverfront, or yes to Wilmington Kitchen Collective, or yes to social justice? And, you know, I think that's an exciting thing, and it's part of our Riverfront fabric in a way.
I think one of my favorite things was just the fellowship and talking to other people at my table or in these groups from other churches, and brainstorming and helping each other, listing our challenges and hearing what they did that was fun, that we could also incorporate into our worship, into our service.
Yeah, it was a good day and a half, I think, for me. I have gotten to know this presbytery more over Zoom than anything else, right? Coming to Riverfront in January of 2020, I've been on many Zoom calls with these people. And so to spend just a little bit of time together in person, there is that energy and that joy and that laughter that happens in a way in person, in a way that doesn't happen over Zoom. And I think I didn't realize how much my soul needed that until we were partway through the day on the first day of our gathering. Just really, really grateful for some in-person connections and some deeper, longer conversations with colleagues and with ministry partners. So on this, during this retreat, the presbytery really celebrated these seven marks of church vitality. So these seven things that they are really hoping that congregations will embrace and will work on. And these seven marks are Presbyterian-wide. So across the country, there are congregations that are working on these seven things. We spent a day and a half talking about these seven things, and we're not going to spend that long on this podcast. But I just want to name for you these seven marks of vitality to give you a little bit of idea about what it might mean to be a faithful place of worship and exploration. So those seven marks are these. The first is spiritual growth. The second is lifelong intentional loving. The third is active outward focus. Number four is shared gifts and power. Five is spirit-inspired worship. Sixth is genuine caring relationships. And finally, the seventh mark of vitality is healthy accountability. These marks, some of them overlap in different areas. Some of them we work at different points. Some of them kind of happen naturally, while others, at least for me, we really have to be mindful of. And so I wonder, for y'all, when you heard these different marks, which of them stood out as things that Riverfront was really doing well? What are some of the strengths of these marks at Riverfront?
I see spirit-inspired worship, just in the way we worship. We worship outside on the riverfront. We worship with food through dinner and connections with people. We worship with musicians. Just the variety, and I think seeing the spirit and God in different things and in everyday life.
I would echo that. Definitely spirit-inspired worship. I would also say the idea of healthy accountability, in that, and I've been expressing this lately within the church, you know, there's so many things that we've been exploring lately that are really personally challenging, you know, and it would be so easy just to say, oh, you know, I see the faults in others, I see the logs, or the specks in everybody else's eyes, and you know, here it's like I feel like we're constantly being challenged to address some of the issues that we may have, and that's encouraging. And I would argue that all seven of these, you know, are good markers to strive for, both individually and as a church.
Ken, what are some of those more challenging topics that you feel like we've wrestled with recently as a community?
Oh, so much of it centers around some of the books that we've been going through on Wednesday evenings that have kind of, you know, and have led to those larger conversations on Sundays as well, mostly in just how we really think about and treat others with whom we have disagreements, you know, and it's very easy just to feel superior, like we know, you know, we know the right way to approach things, whether it's on a hot political issue of the day or a spiritual matter or whatever, and to, you know, take a step back, realize that that we're still dealing with human beings that need to be loved and cared for, and trying to see things from their perspectives. It's challenging because it's easy to dismiss and just move on.
Yeah, Bob, for you, what are some of those markers that you see as our strengths?
It's interesting because there's two aspects in my personal connection, and I think a lot of our connections with Riverfront. Wednesday evening, the book study group is for me, a source of extraordinary love and fellowship and acceptance and comfortableness, while it's at the same time, it's a great learning opportunity. And it's a learning opportunity that helps me with a lot of these vital points, spiritual growth and loving and thinking, looking outside of the church to see where I can serve, et cetera, et cetera. I'm very delighted that folks can show up once every 2 months and there's no sense that where were you? It's the opposite. It's that it's so great to see you, and the group is beautifully porous and has no walls or barriers to anybody, and folks can just come in and be with us, and that enables a genuinely caring set of relationships, to directly quote these vital congregational points.
Yeah, I think for me, for me, the worship piece is really key to what we do, and I think the ways that we approach worship are really spirit-filled and are just open to the possibilities. And I must say, as the one often leading in that space, most days that is a gift, and some days it's really hard. Some days it is really hard to just be open and flexible, and for me to be listening individually and for us to be listening collectively. Sometimes it's hard to not always know where are we going to meet or who's going to show up or is it going to be raining, you know? Like, it's, there's some pieces that are outside of our control that it takes a special group of people and a special community as a whole to embrace that style of worship. And I just feel really grateful for the opportunity to lead in that space. And it's also a space that really stretches me some days. There are some days where I want that comfort. And we talked a lot this weekend about how this work of innovation and this work of vitality means giving up our comfort. And I will say that worship is a place that stretches me in a way that's really, really beautiful and frankly sometimes surprising. I wonder, for this next piece, over the weekend we framed it as where is God calling us into, right? So these marks that are not necessarily weaknesses, though we also have our weaknesses, but what mark or a mark or two are you feeling called deeper into at Riverfront? Where are those moments where it's like, you know what, I actually am really interested in this part of church, and if we just leaned in a little more, I'm really curious about this.
One thing I had thought of when I saw the genuinely caring relationships, I think Riverfront, we do a great job of accepting people and welcoming people. As you said, if you come once, if you come, you know, occasionally, or if you come regularly, something I think we could do better is that radical hospitality, that concept of somebody new comes in, maybe having a greeter, somebody actually welcoming you in, explaining what type of service, because it is different every week, you know, welcoming, and even, you know, seeing if they'd like to be contacted again, the follow-up of letting them know about concerts, work that we're doing, and I think growing the roots of our tree, of our community, really kind of getting in deeper, and I think the in-person connection is something we're really good at and we should continue to do.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot myself about, and I think this might play off of what Wednesday said, or maybe it's just a new thought, but I keep pondering what we might be able to do to consciously reach out to folks who are, I guess I'll use the word unchurched. It sounds like it's such a negative way to define a person, but people who are looking for a spiritual community that has the kinds of openness and creativity and freedom in terms of theology and spirituality and coming totally where as you are in your spiritual journey, that's something we do very, very well, but this left me asking more deeply this weekend, okay, how can we do that? And, you know, what crosses my mind is on Sunday night, maybe getting there early and walking around and just inviting people, saying, by the way, in case you don't know, we're going to be gathering at 5 o'clock, and that I'm an excessively extroverted person, and so I would not mind walking up to people cold and doing that. And so I'm taking the idea and throwing it back upon myself as a way that I could live it out, and the way that all of us might in some way live out being more intentionally invitational as opposed to incidentally invitational.
I got nothing to add on that. I would echo both those comments.
Yeah, for me, I really, this weekend was an invitation for me into the shared gifts and power, which really, I mean, is a continuation of Wednesday and Bob's comments of that in order to do this deeper work, we have to do it together, right? And that I need and I desire to be looking at the gifts of our community wider and looking at the gifts and inviting folks in to serve in new ways, right? I think we do, again, a really good job with the flexibility and with a, like, no-pressure situation. And in order to really grow our community and grow our impact and grow our just our physical presence, there has to be more people who are serving. And we live that out in who is leading worship, and we live that out in who leads on Wednesday nights, but we haven't lived that out in some of the behind-the-scenes work and in some of the organizing work and in some of the passing out of flyers work and, like, these very practical things that it takes to run a church and it takes to run worship each week that, again, it's that intentionality and it's the invitation to serve, but really using our gifts and sharing that power in new ways. I think for me, I'm not interested in making those decisions unilaterally as a pastor, which is why we gather frequently as our board and frequently as our staff to be planning worship and planning what's coming next. But I think one of the next steps for us is inviting people who aren't on our board and aren't members of our staff into deeper servanthood, to use a very church word, right? That this deeper way of serving and giving and showing up in this community. I wonder if we might talk a little bit about this active outward focus. Yesterday when we were gathering, we talked a little bit about it, about how initially we see ourselves as really gifted at this because of the Kitchen Collective and because of the ways that we are often partnering with outside organizations. But then we all said that we desired more of it. And so I wonder if we might talk there for a minute. What do you all desire more in with that outward active focus?
I'll jump in first and say that I concur that I think Riverfront does a good job with that, in that, you know, I've seen us not only doing the Kitchen Collective, which is a consistent, vital part of the heartbeat of our city and our neighborhood that's encouraging entrepreneurship, but I also see, you know, showing up for immigrants' rights and for social justice issues and Black Lives Matters, and you know, really partnering with these organizations to try to make a difference in our society. So I think that component is there, but I would be curious to know what other people are thinking.
My sense is that we've always been a community that never perceived ourselves as a church with four walls, Now, that's literally true that we don't are not a church with four walls. But I mean, psychologically, we've never been, well, we do it our way. We always do it in partnership. That's, I think, part of our DNA that is just so important. And so I can't name a particular outreach or ministry or social justice movement right now that would be the most effective and the one that would fit best with who we are. But I do think we need to begin a journey to find, discuss, think about what impact do we want to have. We can't do eight things. We're smart if we try to do one more thing and do it really well, in terms of caring for those outside the community with needs, whether it be social service or social justice. But clearly we need to have a conversation and think about how we can do that, and maybe first, what are the possibilities? What's out there? What's happening already in the community that we can partner with and add our love and our passion and our energy and our skills to?
I forgot to even mention our involvement with Family Promise, and
that's
yeah,
true.
I'm struck by the ways, just by how much energy and excitement has been in serving with Family Promise, in partnering with Tree of Life Church to pack meals last fall. Like, some of these hands-on missions that I think for so long Riverfront has focused on the justice component of church, that in some ways we have like forgotten some of the acts of compassion that we, like, in church world we would talk about it as acts of compassion, right? The like tangible, physical, on the ground impact. I think sometimes we have that impact in the kitchen, but there's not necessarily ways for our community members to be serving in the kitchen other than like showing up and buying lunch from our entrepreneurs, right? And so I just keep thinking about these ministries again that we can partner with, like Family Promise, like Friendship House, like the Food Bank of Delaware, these community events that that really help us like keep our feet grounded to the physical place of Wilmington. I think for me, some of the challenge in that, and it doesn't excuse why we haven't done it, but some of the challenges, we struggle with the question of place in the city, right? We are Riverfront Ministries, and we meet at the Pavilion for most of the year, but then we meet in West Center City for another portion of the year, and we meet downtown in like the heart of the city for our Wednesday night study. And so I just sometimes am left with this question of like, where are we called to serve? Like physically, where are we called to show up? And I think it is I think so far we've answered that question with all over the city. And I just wonder with, back to Bob's piece of intentional invitations to worship and just thinking about our like physical impact on the riverfront, which is like why Riverfront was planted where it was, because there wasn't another faith community down there. What that looks like for us to be serving in more physical ways.
I have to say, yeah, having a social work and governmental background, despite the fact that I'm an ordained minister, I always fall back on social service, social justice. I delight in the fact that Chelsea used the term acts of compassion, because we really do believe in Jesus, and you know, kind of get led by that Bible thing a little bit. So it's nice to use words that are expressions of our faith. Language matters, and I appreciated that subtle shift of the language, because I do think it more accurately reflects who we are.
Any other pieces that y'all are taking from this retreat, things that you are looking forward to bringing back to Riverfront?
I will say I was personally encouraged by a couple of the leaders. Well, first of all, the whole process that this group used to put this together was unique, and I dare I say innovative. To have a group of leaders not saying, okay, you each have, you know, 15 or 20 minutes to share your piece, but rather they were like bouncing off each other, you know, and again employing music and improv and preaching and observation, and you know, it was just it was very interesting to see that kind of scenario throughout the weekend. And my little geek heart leapt for joy over mentions of Ted Lasso and U2 and everything, and getting to a chance to talk to some of the folks that brought those things up there. We explored a lot about the faith of Bono, and how incredible it would be if society were to follow more of the example of a Ted Lasso, just in acting with kindness and everything. So those were fun side conversations for me in the middle of all this.
Hope that you can hear our energy and our excitement for this time away. It was a real gift for me as a pastor to have five of us present at this retreat. Missing from this conversation, but with us over the weekend, was Damon Warren. And any of you that know Damon know that Damon loves a good adventure. So he drove down separate so that he could go one-wheeling around Cambridge today. And so Damon was with us over the weekend as well. And just to have the five of us present, for there to be this energy. And I'm just really grateful to this group and for the ways that you are already helping hold this story and this journey, right? It's really different for... if I was just to come down here by myself, because then I would be fully responsible for bringing these marks back. But now it's up to you as well.
We
all have jobs now. Are you
Chelsea,
leading,
we had ideas. We didn't say we were going to help you execute.
Yeah, well,
why nominate?
Welcome to Vitality. You're in it.
You're in it to win it.
And so, right, I give thanks that we're not on this journey alone. And I'm really excited for this next season of Riverfront, not just for the physical season that we're about to move into of being outdoors, but this season as an organization. You know, we've spent so much time over the last 2 years really building some of the structure and building some of the pillars of this community, and like building on what was birthed at the beginning, and kind of figuring out more of who we are. And I feel like this next season is a season ahead of play and of growth and of, like, I think about like an elementary school student who like can explore and go a little further without their parents, and I'm like, that kind of feels like where we are, you know, like we're ready to play in new ways, and we're ready to try things, and just feel grateful again for that foundation. But for where we're headed. And so just another shout out to the Presbytery for their invitation for us to be present this weekend. You know, they delighted over the fact that there were five of us there. And Just give thanks for the presbytery and their support of Riverfront from the beginning. For, again, the facilitators of this weekend and the many pieces of inspiration that they brought. And for the community that gathered. And so, friends, hope that this conversation has been inspiring to you. Would love to hear more from your perspective. When you hear these seven marks of vitality, what are we good at? And what is God calling us into? Would love to continue this conversation either in the comments section or in person. Would love to take you to coffee and hear about your heart around these seven marks. And just know that we are continuing this journey together, that we are, that we're asking the hard questions of one another and of ourselves. It's a gift to be a part of a community that's doing that work. And so thanks for that. Friends, hope to see you Sunday at 5:05 or Wednesday at 5:30 or sometime in between. Catch you soon.
Set, go. Just plant a seed and trust in God to do the growing on your marks. Get set, go. And when you do, God will let you know where you're going on your marks. Get set, go. Just plant a seed and trust in God to do the growing. We remember the story of Abram Abraham, how he left his home and family with a novel plan, just to follow the direction of the great I Am. He went, he obeyed, he believed, and God's promise was received. The same promise is true, and it can happen for you. Trust, obey, see the way. Trust, obey, see the way. Get on your marks, get set, go. And when you do, God will let you know where you're going on your marks. Get set, go. Just plant a seed and trust in God to do growing. Get set, go. And when you do, God will let you know where you're going on your marks. Get set, go. Just plant a seed of trust in God to do the growing. We remember the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus drank the cup just for you and me. Revelation that prepares our eternity. He went, he obeyed, he believed, and God's promise was received. The same promise is true, and it can happen for you. Say, trust, obey, see the way. Trust. Get on your marks, get set, go. And when you do, God will let you know where you're going on your marks. Get set, go. Just plant a seed of trust in God to do the